Get your Bibles out, church. That's pretty sad. Get your Bibles out. Thank you. And go to the Gospel of Luke. I want to go through this message right quick. It's building off of what I was preaching on Sunday. And there's some things that I just can't keep. If I just preach the Sunday message like I want to preach, I'll just be there forever. And I know that I got to move along. And so I get to, y'all get all the extras, you know. It's like when you make a milkshake and there's the glass is full and there's something left in the blender, you know. This is what y'all get, the leftovers in the blender tonight. You know, I was showing you, I was talking about that word that in 1 John when he was talking about, how it says, and to him that received the Lord, he gave power. And that word receive means lambano. And that word is just a really interesting Greek word, because it just means so much more than just to hear, just to say receive. Because, you know, receive, you can get something in the mail and you received it, right? And it didn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to you. And you can get something else. It's a great gift. You know, it could be a compliment that really blessed your soul, or a, you know, something that somebody wrote a little something to you, and an encouragement that really just meant everything to you. I've got things that I've kept, you know, for, you know, years and years and years. I've had and stuck in the back of my Bible for 20 years. And somebody said something to me, really spoke to me. That was a note. You know what I'm saying? And so the word lambano, we don't think about it much. And I may not even be pronouncing the word right. That's the South Texas translation paraphrased of the word. But anyway, I was doing some reading and some meditating, and I just kind of some extra. Like I said, it's the extras that goes on to that. In Luke 22, over in verse 31, it says, it's a story where Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, The Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Now, when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster shall crow this day, before you will deny me three times, that you even know me. You know, in this word about receiving, so interesting, because here's Peter. First of all, in the story, Jesus is talking to the devil, and he already pre-knew what was going to happen. He already knew the preemptive strike the devil was going to make upon Peter. Y'all with me? So Jesus and the devil had already had a conversation about Peter. And so Peter, at his time, he thought he had received, that he was ready to go to, Lord, I'll go to prison and death with you. But, you know, it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing when you're standing there looking at the guys about to haul you off to prison, you know, because we all know he kind of changed his mind, right? At this point, he's saying, yeah, Lord, I got it, man. I'm ready to serve you no matter what. And as I began to look at this, it's almost like the Christian walk. You know, a lot of times we start out and we're young and we're fired. We think, oh, man, nothing will stop me. I'm going to serve the Lord. Ah. And, you know, nothing will stop me, and then you fall. It's like going on the diet. You say, oh, man, this time I'm really going to do it. And then you just get tripped up by the simplest little thing. Y'all with me? So we see this happens to Peter, okay? And he said, but Peter, in his mind and in his self, Jesus is standing there, and he didn't say, look, idiot, you're not as dedicated as you think you are. He just said, look, you're going to get through this. In other words, Jesus could look at Peter and knew that he was going to fall short, but that he was going to come back strong. So the thing about it is, when we're having our conversation with the Lord, we're not fooling him. You with me? Okay, so then go down to verse 54. So having arrested him, they led him and they brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. Now he's distanced himself from the Lord. Okay. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, they sat down together. Peter sat among them. Now he's sitting down among them. First he distances himself from the Lord. Now he's just trying to blend in with everybody else. And a certain servant girl sent him, sat by the fire, looked intently and said, this is the man who was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, you don't know. I don't know him. After a little while, another one saw him and said, aren't you one of them? And Peter said, no, man, I'm not. Then after an hour passed, another one confirmed and affirmed, saying, surely this is a fellow, for he's a Galatian. But Peter said, man, you don't know what you are saying. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Wow. That gotta hurt. You just got through denying him, and you just look up, and through the crowd, you see Jesus turning and looking at him. He already knew it was going to happen. He just turned and looked at him. And then Peter remembered the words of the Lord. I said in him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So Peter went out and he wept bitterly. You see, folks, all of us in our walk with Jesus, a lot of times we think we've got it made till the tough time comes, or the obstacle comes, or the whatever it may be comes into our life. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, we're even sorry and we're even repentant of what's gone on or what we've done, and we weep bitterly. But I got to show y'all, go to Luke 23. Peter didn't have it all, it wasn't all taken care of then. It says, now behold, there was a man, I'm in verse 50, named Joseph, of the council, council member, good, just man. He had not consented to the decision of the deed. He was from Arimathea, the city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. And the man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Where are the disciples? Where's Peter? I mean, he wept bitterly, he had this experience, but even when Jesus is on the cross, he's not willing to go take him off. He's not willing to get so... He's still not... He got convicted, but he's really not convicted enough to get in. He never really has totally grabbed hold of and received and lambanoed the Jesus and taken in. All that's going to be his the ridicule and the blessing. Right? So Joseph Arimathea has to take care of the thing. Now skip on over. Go to Luke 24. So they rose up very, Luke 24:33. So they rose up very early and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those that were with him gathered together, saying, Lord, he's risen, because this is after they were on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. And behold, they told all these things of what had happened on the road and how he'd known them and the breaking of the bread. And now as they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. But they were terrified, frightened, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. So what I'm saying is they still hadn't got it. In other words, on this journey of really being dedicated and grabbing hold of the Lord and receiving from him so that everything they asked could be theirs, they really hadn't gotten there. They thought they were. Peter thought he was there the very first day before the rooster crowed. Right? And all I'm saying is a lot of times in life we think we're here in this place, but you don't know where you are until something comes against you, and then you start finding out what you really believe. And that word receive, lambano, means you grab hold of Jesus and hang on for dear life, no matter what. No matter what's coming, no matter what's thrown, you're in. Okay? So he says, and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, it's myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said, have you any food here? And he gave him some piece of broiled fish. He sat down and he ate it with them. Now, I got to admit, it's pretty freaky. Would have been a pretty freaky thing, right? To be sitting there with Jesus. You never see anybody raised from the dead. Whatever, he's there. You know he was killed. Now he's in front. That's pretty freaky. But everybody right now was still like, we don't know what's going on. Now look at John 21, Gospel of John 21:15. So folks, you got to understand something in this story. These guys had a lot of time to think. Because John 21 didn't happen just immediately. Jesus sat down there and he ate with them and he was gone. He came back and they have John 21 happen. had a lot of time to think. And so what did they do in their thinking? Well, they all just loaded up and went fishing. In other words, again, they just didn't really know what to do, so they just went and did whatever they knew to do. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Well, then feed my lambs." And again, he answered second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord." And he says, "I know that you love me." And he said, "Well, then tend my sheep." Third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he asked him a third time, says, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And he spoke of the signifying of the death, which he was, would be glorified, that he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, and also had leaned on his breast at the supper. And he said, "Lord, who's this? Who is going to betray you?" Which would be John. And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" So in other words, here we go again. Here's Peter having this encounter with the Lord, telling him to go feed my sheep, tend my sheep, take care of all these kind of things. But yet Peter, in his mind, is just really kind of concerned about, was John going to get a better position than me? You see what I'm saying? We think sometimes we're so spiritual, but yet we're carnal. There's a carnal side to us. We think that we've gone so far and we've gone to this place and, oh, we're just got it. But there is some carnality still there. Y'all with me? And as Christians, we forget that we're on a journey. We're on a road that there's no one experience. Boom, you got it. And you're just, that's it. It's a journey of thinking you're there. I've arrived. And you found out you're just at first base. Right? And then you go a little farther with the Lord and you make it through that hurdle and you get over there and then you think, oh, now I've arrived. And he hadn't arrived. You're on a journey. There's no place of coming to all of a sudden you're just like, da, 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 unless you die. For all of us, it's a journey we're going on. There's no place. And what happens just a lot of times in life, we get to that place and we stop and say, well, I've arrived. This is it. This is where I want to camp. This is where I want to make camp. And we start building a permanent camp. But the problem is that we can't stay there doing that. We have to keep moving on. We have to keep growing. We have to keep getting stretched. We have to. If we just stop and build a camp, then we just turn that camp eventually into an idol. And then we don't grow. We don't go on. It's a journey. This whole thing is a journey. So now look at this. Think about this. So Peter's already said, he already had one moment where he said he'd never deny Christ, but then when he was pressured, he did. And then he had, Lord, you know, what's John doing? Right? He had the next moment where he's talking to the Lord, and now he's still got some issues, right? Now go to Acts 1. So Peter now, I mean, God bless Peter. I can really relate to Peter. So now he's going to do the work. Get it all figured out. Lord's not moving quick enough, so he's going to start moving. Now, I cannot prove this to you. This is thus saith Robert, but just let me hear me out here. In Acts 1:15 says, "In those days Peter stood in the midst of the disciples, altogether names were about 120, and he said," and he goes and he starts talking to them about, "We're short a disciple because Judas was gone, and we need 12, and so we need to get another one, so let's come in here and roll the bones and see who's going to be." Right? This is the thus saith Robert Richards. The other apostle was Paul. And they just got ahead of themselves. And the only reason why I know that is because they get Matthias in there, and he never, you know, you never really see anything ever happen to him in the scriptures. I think he was a good man. He probably went and did whatever, but he didn't even write a gospel. He wouldn't even mention anything in there. Nothing ever happened to him. Peter just got up now and he said, "Well, let's see, we need to get this show on the road, so I'll take charge and let's go." Again, you got a problem. It's Peter. It's not Jesus. Peter's well-meaning. Everybody knew that Peter was gifted and blessed, and knew who he, you know, who he was as a man and who he was as a disciple and apostle, but now he's taking charge. He's getting it figured out. We need to elect somebody because the scripture says he's got it figured out in the scriptures. Scripture says. We've got to get one. So let's just cast lots for somebody. We'll all gather in here. Everybody pick a number and we're going to play bingo. Right? See whose number comes up. Okay? So all I'm making a reference to is Peter still ain't got it right. None of us have got it right. None of us are 100%, 100% laid on, got it right. Everything. We all are going through that point in life. It's a journey. Acts 2:14. Now look what happens. Holy Ghost falls. Right here at this point in Acts 2:14, I believe Peter really lambanoed. He really grabbed hold of it and finally got hold of what Jesus was talking about. But look how many major events have already taken place. Peter standing up with 11 in verse 14, he raised his voice and said, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and take heed to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose." You follow me? Peter finally now is starting to hit pay dirt. He finally now has gotten to that place with the Lord that he's really, what he's saying is, "Thus saith the Lord." Before it was, "Thus saith the Lord," with Peter involved. The journey in life takes us in those experiences and begins to kind of knock us out and get us filled back with Jesus. So that we start making everything decisions based and it's Jesus, not man involved in this. Now, Acts 3, verse 1. "Now when Peter and John went up together to the temple about the hour to pray, the ninth hour, a certain man lame from his mother's womb and carried to their day laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" But now something's different. In other words, Peter finally got hold of and received from the Lord that what he needed and started getting so full of Jesus instead of Peter that he had something to give. And he addressed the man and said, "Hey, look at us. We got something to give you." So he said, so he gave them his attention. He expected to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now all of a sudden it's a different Peter. Now it's the Peter that can fulfill what the scripture says, "Ask anything in my name and I'll do it." Because Peter has begun to get totally obstructed by Jesus. Because Jesus is out front. Peter is just kind of hidden in the shadows. He's got something to give. He's got something to offer. He's got something to put out there. He's got something to say, but people aren't seeing Peter. They're seeing Jesus. "That silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the encouragement tonight is, church, simply this. You're on a journey. All of us are on a journey. And I'm telling you, we don't all have it figured out. And the journey's not over until the journey's over. You don't come to a place and all of a sudden you can retire from being a Christian. You may retire from your job. You may change jobs. You can do something, but you don't retire from being a Christian. You're still on a journey. No matter what your occupation is, no matter what you're doing, you're still on a journey. We always will be on that journey till the day we see Him. But we got to remember, what's the journey doing? It's knocking us out. It's getting rid of us. It's getting rid of us and putting Jesus out front. And lambano is that word that means when you get to that place right there, Jesus is the forefront, not you. What's funny about Peter, and I don't know if you know this, but in Peter's life, Peter died, he was crucified, and when he went to crucify him, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified on a cross like my Savior's. They turned him upside down. He was upside down, but the cross that they used for Peter's cross is an X, because when it was the way they configured the cross, hung him on a cross upside down. That's the way he died. And I just think about that. Isn't that kind of funny? Because Peter always had it backwards. You know? Always kind of had it backwards, and then that's the way he went out. So I'm just encouraging tonight. We've not arrived. We're on this journey. It's like Peter was. We're on this journey. We've got to get to the place that silver and gold we don't have. Such as I do have, I want to give you. Here, take some of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm happy.